At his bidding, the slaves brought kettles of hot water, and Taita washed Nefer carefully from head to foot and rebandaged his wounds, placing a dressing of lamb's wool over the gaping opening in his thigh that was still draining. When he'd finished, he warned the guards not to let anybody pass and barred all the entrances to the chamber. He prayed for a while, and then threw incense on the brazier, and in the blue and aromatic smoke made an ancient, potent incantation to Anubis, the god of death and cemeteries. Only then did he prepare the elixir of Anubis in a new and unused oil lamp. He warmed the mixture on the brazier until it was the temperature of blood, and took it to the bed where Nefer was sleeping quietly. Gently he turned his head to one side and placed the spout of the lamp in his ear. He poured the elixir into the eardrum, a heavy, viscid drop at a time. Carefully he wiped away the excess, taking care that it should not touch his own skin. Then he plugged Nefer's ear with a small ball of wool and pushed it deeply into the passage until it could not be detected by any but a detailed examination. He emptied what remained of the elixir onto the coals of the brazier, and it flared in a puff of acrid steam. Then he filled the lamp with oils and lit the wick. He placed it with the other lamps in the corner of the chamber. He went back to the bed and squatted beside it. He watched Nefer's chest rise and fall to his breathing. Each breath was slower, and the intervals between them longer. At last they ceased altogether. He placed two fingers on Nefer's throat beneath the ear, and felt the slow, deliberate pulsing of the life-force within him. Gradually that also faded, until it was only a flutter like the wing of a tiny insect that took all his skill and experience to detect. With the fingers of his left hand, he counted the beating of the life-force in his own neck and compared the two. At last, his own beat was 300 to a single barely detectable flutter in Nefer's neck. Gently, he closed the boy's eyes, placed an amulet on the lids in the traditional preparation of the corpse. Next, he bound a strip of linen over them and another strip under his jaw to keep his mouth from gaping open. He worked quickly, for there was danger in every minute that Nefer remained under the influence of the elixir. At last, he went to the door and removed the locking bar. "Send word to the regent of the Upper Kingdom. He should come immediately to hear terrible tidings of Pharaoh." Lord Narger arrived with surprising alacrity. Princess Heseret was with him, and they were followed by a crowd of their intimates, which included Lord Asmore, the Assyrian doctor Noom, and most of the members of the council. Narger ordered the others to wait in the corridor outside the royal apartments while he and Heseret came into the chamber. Taita rose from beside the bed to greet them. Heseret was weeping ostentatiously and covering her eyes with an embroidered linen shawl. Narger glanced at the bandaged body laid out stiffly on the couch, then glanced at Taita with a question in his eyes. In reply, Taita nodded slightly. Narger masked the gleam of triumph in his eyes, then knelt beside the bed. He laid one hand on Nefer's chest and felt the warmth slowly ebbing, to be replaced by a spreading coolness. Narger prayed aloud to Horus, who was the patron god of the dead pharaoh. When he rose to his feet again, he took Taita's upper arm in a firm grip. "Console yourself, Magus. You did all that we could require of you. You will not lack your reward." He clapped his hands, and when the guards hurried through the door, he ordered, "Summon the members of the council to assemble." They filed into the room in solemn procession and formed up around the bed three deep. "Let the good Dr. Noom come forward," Narger ordered. "Let him confirm the Magus's pronouncement of Pharaoh's death." The ranks opened for the Assyrian to reach the couch. His long locks had been curled with hot tongs and dangled to his shoulders. His beard had also been curled in the fashion of Babylon. His robe swept the floor and was decorated with embroidered symbols of strange gods and magical patterns. He knelt beside the deathbed and began an examination of the corpse. He sniffed at Nefer's lips with a huge hooked nose from whose nostrils protruded clumps of black hair. Then he placed his ear against Nefer's chest and listened. During 100 beats of Taita's anxious heart, he'd placed much store in the Assyrian's ineptitude. Then Noom took a long silver pin from the hem of his robe and opened Nefer's limp hand. He pricked the point deeply up under the fingernail and watched for muscular reaction or for a drop of blood to form. At last he stood up slowly, and Taita thought that there was evidence of deep disappointment in his curled lip and lugubrious expression as he shook his head. Taita reflected that he had certainly been offered untold rewards to use the silver pin to other effect. "Pharaoh is dead," he announced, and those around the bed made the sign against the evil eye and the wrath of the gods. Lord Narja threw back his head and gave the first cry of lamentation, and Heseret, standing behind him, took up the wailing cry in her lovely, soaring voice. Taita hid his impatience while he waited for the mourners to file past the couch and one by one leave the chamber. Only when Narja and Heseret, Noom and the viziers of the gnomes of the Upper Kingdom remained, Taita stepped forward again. "Lord Narja, I beg your indulgence. You are aware that I have been Pharaoh Nefertiti's tutor and servant since his birth. I owe him respect and duty, even now in death. I beg you to grant me a boon. Will you allow me to be the one to convey his corpse to the Hall of Sorrow, and there to make the incision to remove his heart and viscera? I would take that as the greatest honour you could bestow upon me." Lord Narja thought for a while, then nodded. "You have earned that honour. I charge you with the duty of conveying Pharaoh's sacred body to the funeral temple, and of beginning the process of embalming by making the incision.